I want to revisit our discussion about the community of love. Just let me start by reading quotation again. I remember this was Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau, who was interviewed on his 80th birthday, and he was speaking of his career and the musical influences on his life. And he said the greatest musical influence was that of the great German conductor, Wilhelm Furtwängler. And this is what he said. Furtwängler once said to me that the most important thing for a performing artist was to build up a community of love for the music with the audience, to create one fellow feeling among so many people who have come from so many different places and feelings. And then Fischer-Dieskau said, I have lived with that ideal all my life as a performer. All right. I think that final line is really important, that everyone should be able to say, I've lived with that ideal all my life as a course student. In fact, I've lived with that ideal all my life as a person. You know, that my purpose, all right, for being on the stage that I call my life, is to establish the community of love with everyone I'm with, everyone I think about, everyone whom I have not yet met, without exception. All right? And that's how we kind of take the wealth of this course and we kind of bring it to the world by accepting within ourselves, and then it just extends through us. So obviously, again, it's not that we bring it to the world, it just extends through us to the world. But that's the community of love. All right, now there's a section in the text, chapter 18, section 8, called The Little Garden. I want to read the whole second part of that with you. I'm going to start from page 392. So chapter 18, section 8, The Little Garden. All right. Now, in here, Jesus contrasts our little garden, which would be our little kingdom, which is the ego. All right? Our little kingdom is our life as a body in the world. All our special relationships is a reflection of the ego's kingdom of separation, sin, guilt, and fear, which we all share in our mind. All right? And that's contrasted with the little garden, which is really a reflection of our right-minded kingdom. We start right at the top of page 392. It's in the middle of paragraph 7, right at the top of the page, so in sentence 5. Would you remain within your tiny kingdom, a sorry king, a bitter ruler of all that he surveys, who looks on nothing, yet who would still die to defend it? This little self is not your kingdom, meaning your separated individual special self is not your real kingdom. Arched high above it, and surrounding it with love, is the glorious whole, which offers all its happiness and deep content to every part of the sonship. The little aspect that you think you set apart is no exception. Right? That we're part of that glorious whole too. Right? And that glorious whole, of course, that we feel in our right mind is a reflection of the glorious capital W whole, that is who we are as Christ. All right, so now let's start with paragraph 8. Love knows no bodies and reaches to everything created like itself. All right, so this is another place where when you read it carefully, the implication is quite clear. If love knows no bodies and we are creations of love, then we must be a mind and not a body. Love knows no bodies. All right? When you have identified with that loving presence in our minds, which, again, you can call any name you like, we'll just leave it as the Holy Spirit or Jesus, but any name that you like, that's the holy instant. And then you don't see bodies anymore. Your eyes see bodies. But your mind doesn't interpret the seemingly separated, well, actually not seemingly, the separated bodies as being separated sons. Because you realize that we are all joined on the level of the mind. That's the community of love.